We continue our learning of Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Chan Yaakov ben Pinchas Leo. We're in Rav Kama Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel. Hakelev v'hagidi shakavtu mirosh agag, a dog or a goat that jumps off a roof, doesn't mean a high roof, a couple of stories high, and jumps off, v'shivuas hakelem, and they break kelem vessels as they do so, and the Mishnah is going to explain, because it's typical for them. Mishalim nezek shalem, and the owner of the gedi or the kelem has to pay full damages, v'nei shehin muadim. They're considered moored for this activity. This is nizke regel. This falls into the category of regel. Regel is not just walking while trampling, anything that an animal normally does, whether it's walking, and if it's typical for an animal to jump, and it causes damage when it does so, so you have to pay for that too. That's also under regel. So that's why you have to pay nezek shalim for the kelim that these kelev ugedi broke. Hakelev shenatal charara, whatever case of a dog that took hold of a charara, charara is a cake that is baked on coals. And the animal takes this cake in its mouth and wants to eat the cake, but also there's a coal that's attached to it as well. V'halach lagadish, and now this dog goes with this coal to and as the cake also, he's going to be eating the cake. Lagadish, he goes to the heap of wheat of the owner of this cake itself. So here, two potential damages. Here, he's going to be eating the cake of someone's animal. Reuven's animal now takes this piece of cake off the coals, let's say, and has a coal with it as well. And this is Shimon's charara. And he goes to Shimon's gadish heap of wheat. And acharara ve'ilegas hagadish. And what did this dog do? What did Reuven's dog do? It, number one, it ate the charara of Shimon's, and it also lit Shimon's gadish heap of wheat on fire because it had a coal in its mouth as well. Ala charara mishalem nezek shalem, val hagadish mishalem chatzi nezek. The owner of the dog has to pay full damages for the charara. The cake was worth $10. You have to pay $10. Why? Well, he's in the Rishus HaNizak. He's in the Shimon's property. And this is Nizkei Shein. This is in the category of Shein. He's getting benefit. He's eating something. And it's the derech of a kelev of a dog to eat a charara. Even though there may be a coal attached to it, it's still considered Shein. And therefore, he paid nezek shalim for the value of the charara. What about the gadish that was burned down? Vala gadish mishalim chatzi nezek. That's chatzi nezek. Now you may say, hold on, isn't that nizke esh? This is not nizke esh because because it's not typical for a kelev to light something on fire. So therefore, this is chatzi nezek. Why? Because this is meshune. This is something that's not typical that it does. An animal doesn't normally light things on fire. And therefore, this would be keren and you pay chatzi nezek. That's one way to explain the Mishnah. Others learn the Mishnah know that the fact that the gadish lit on fire from the coal is an indirect type of damage. And this therefore would fall into the category of tsroros, of pebbles, where an animal, as we said, as it walks, it happened to kick up pebbles, and that causes damage. And those pebbles break a window. So that would be the same thing here. The animal's eating the fire cookie, eating this piece of cake, and there happens to be a coal, and the coal happens to walk over to the gadish and it lights it on fire. That would be considered tsroros, and tsroros we know is chatzi nezek. The only question is whether this is chatzi nezek of because it's keren, or that's one explanation, or it's chatzi nezek because it's tsroros. It makes a difference because we know if it's tsroros, then it's a subcategory of regel, and therefore would have the rules of regel. Let's say you wouldn't be chayef if it happened in Rishus HaRabim, but according to the explanation, that is, no, it's not regel, it's keren, so then it would be chayef in Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara has a machlokes, an important machlokes tamorim between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. In this context, when we speak about fire in general, so we're arguing here that this is not considered classic punishment, a classic category of fire, of esh, of that category we mentioned. Hever was one of the four arvos nezikin in the first mishnah of the Masechta. Question is, what is the nature of that iser, of that category of fire. When we speak about, well, fire is considered one of the categories in Ezekiel, you're causing damage. Why are you chayav for that? Is it esho mishum chitzav? Says Rabbi Yochanan, is it considered that your fire is as if you're throwing an arrow? The same way a person would be chayav for if he threw an arrow, even though he's not doing the damage, he's not punching someone in the face, if he threw an arrow at someone and injured someone. So why are you chayav for that? I didn't touch you at all. Only my arrow did. So the answer is, it's mikocho. It's chitzav. It's his arrow. It's his force. And the same thing would be true here. If I light a fire, so then I'm the one who initiated this this category of Nezikin, and therefore I'm going to be chayav. It's as if I'm throwing an arrow when I light a fire. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Reish Lakish says, no, fire is different. Fire is, it's not coming based on your force. The fire begins to spread. Korach acher me'urav bo. There's another force that's helping it move, and that's the wind, and that's not you at all. You can't say esho mishum chitzav, that it's the nature of the prohibition is that it's like shooting an arrow, but rather esho mishum amono. It's as if it's your property. The Torah basically says, yuchai finizke o esh, because the esh is like your mamon. The same the way I'm chai for my animals, my animals, my property belongs to me, is my mamon. So too, the fire that I light is like my mamon, and therefore I'm going to be chai of, in this case, mishum mamono. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that esho is mishum chitzav, that it's considered your force, your arrow, the Gemara says that the case of the mystery is where the kelev placed the gacheles on the gadish, placed that coal on top of the heap in a normal way. In fact, according to that, the owner of the kelev does have to pay nezek shalem. That would be considered like its esh. Why? Because that is considered direct damage. But on the rest of the gadish, you're going to be chayev chatzi nezek, because that would be considered tsroros. So the top where you place the gacheles, the coal, that top of the heap, so that which burnt, that's the esh, that's the fire. That was the coal. It belonged to the owner, belonged to the owner of the dog. So that's a problem of eshim shum chitzav. It's like throwing an arrow. But the rest that burns because you place the thing on top, so the rest of the gadish, that would be considered tsroros, indirect, so to speak, and you'd be only chayv chatzi nezek on the rest of the gadish. Only on the top you'd be chayv nezek shalem. Perek beis mishnah dalet ezehu tam. So we mentioned in Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalet, we spoke about the shor hamuad. So we're going to deal with that now. Ezehu tam, ezehu muad. So says the Mishnah, muad kol shehi idu bo shlosha yamim. So the word muad comes the word lahaid, which means to warn. People warn the owner, like edus. We warn the owner that you should not be you need to watch your animal. So if we have a case where an animal gored three times in three consecutive days, and after each goring, the owner was warned by someone, let's in front of Beis Din, that he must guard his animal. The animal now becomes a muad, and to be mechayev the owner nezek shalem on the fourth time. If though it gored three times in one day, even if the owner was warned after each of the negichos, after each of the gorings, it's not considered a muad. It has to be kol she'idu bo shlosha yamim, three consecutive days. V'tam, when does that animal do tshuva? When does it come back to becoming a tam? Is it always a muad forever? The answer is no. Mishayachzor bo shlosha yamim, meaning if this animal sees three shvarim, three oxen, and doesn't gore them three consecutive days, and doesn't gore them, says the Mishnah, then it returns. Now it's done tshuva. Div Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, now it's no longer a muad, it's considered a tam. And if it would gore again, it's only a chatzi nezek. And it can only become nezek shalom after, of course, three consecutive times on three consecutive days. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Meir Omer, he argues on both. Number one, muad, she'idu bo shlosha pa'amim. As long as it's three times, even in the same day, as long as the owner was warned before each and every one of the gorings, you should go guard your animal, and he didn't. So then he's going to be, it becomes a muad even on the same day. The tam, when does it go back to become a tam? Kol sheyuhu hatinokos mimash mishin bo veino nogeach. If you see that kids are playing with the animal and it's not goring them, so then that becomes that is when it returns to becoming a tam. That doesn't necessarily mean that could be something that happens very quickly and not doesn't take three consecutive days. Or let's say it goes three consecutive days and doesn't gore. According to Rabbi Meir, that's not true. Then I don't assume that it's not that it's going to be I don't see that becomes a tam that way. It has to be where the kids play with it, and it doesn't gore. Interestingly, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda regarding muad, which means it becomes a muad not after three times in the same day. You need three times, three consecutive days. But in terms of returning back to becoming a tam, that's only after you see children playing with it, and it doesn't gore.